Greetings in the name of Jesus, the one who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's an invitation, and I use that in regards to my message title as well. I was given this message assignment for Winter Bible School, and that is friendship evangelism. And friendship evangelism involves everybody, everyone. Would like to just make a comment in regards to, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You're all aware of the plane accident that took place. There's a close friends of ours and family, know them quite well. And at a time like this, that invitation is for them as well. It's just hard to imagine, and yet we know it so well, that time is going to move on and lives will be called home to be with him in glory. And I just encourage us as we think about that to pray for this family. As Levi mentioned about communicating, not anything said in communicating. But there will be opportunities over the time to come. And when you sit with that family and you sit there and nothing is said, just be there. Not a word spoken. Is a tremendous amount of communication and a picture of friendship evangelism, of just be there. There's two reasons for this message. That is, first of all, the friendship part. Mankind longs for friendship and relationship. It's normal in us. It's true that there's a few tough guys that say, "I don't need anybody," but really deep down in, they really do. And as we give ourselves to being friendship, that will show up. The warmth of love is one that's always there. God just made us this way of relationship. Is relationship to him and a relationship to one another. The saying is, a friend is someone who reaches for your hand and touches your heart. And you reflect on that just a moment, if you would, as you, again, over the next few days and time, there will be a lot of handshakes without a word at the death of these, my friends. And the one way you communicate that or handshake is when you shake hands with a person, you look them in your eyes, and that's touching the heart. It's through the eyes that the heart is touched. And that's the way of communicating. In fact, there's a little nugget here that when we see a person, we see their eyes. The world around us has taken a different step. The world around us has taken a position that when you see me, you see what I have on or don't have on, and that's where the attention is called to. It's intended that way. That's why they do that way. However, it's true, that's why we are the other way. We dress and look like, so that the attention is to your eyes and your heart, and that's the contact. And so it's a very important part of friendship. Friendship evangelism starts at a very early age and at home in the family. And I'd like to just emphasize this just a bit, as how friendship evangelism, friendship starts, maybe you don't think of it that way, evangelism, but it starts right as mom and dad to children, to little children. And this all takes time. It reminds the little story that I have is a 4-year-old daughter of a busy father had a favorite story, The Three Little Pigs. And she demanded her dad read this to her night after night. And finally, the dad, pleased with himself, recorded the story. And when the child again asked for her story, he simply switched on the recording, the playback. This worked for a couple of nights, but then one evening, the little girl pushed the storybook back to her father. "Now, honey, you know how to push that recording and you can do it by yourself." "Yes," she said, "but I can't sit on its lap." And I'll tell you, that's pretty simple and humorous, but it's so real. Now, I'll make a call to moms and dads here this morning is remember that your children and little want a lap to sit on. And it's simply a longing for a relationship. We are living in a time when we can do so much, switch on to the media, and the media will entertain them rather well, too well. But really deep down in, it's not a satisfying experience. And I always make a call to us this morning to be extremely careful and lay aside some of those media things and not entertain and not babysit with those things that are so available and so simple and so easy, but are really lazy on our part. Be the one, and this all takes time. And so I encourage you to be the one person in relationship there. Jesus said in Mark 10:14, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." He taught us a picture of inviting the friendship is coming. The story has been on my desk for many years as a treasure of mine. The Thanksgiving Day editorial and newspaper told of a school teacher who asked her first graders to draw a picture of something they were thankful for. And she thought about how the little children from this poor neighborhood actually had very little to be thankful for. But she knew that most of them would draw a picture of a turkey on the table for food. And the teacher was taken back with the picture Douglas handed in, a simple, childish, hand-drawn hand. "Whose hand?" is this class captivated by the abstract image. "I think it must be the hand of God that brings us food," said one child. "A farmer," said another, "because he grows turkeys." And finally, when the others all settled back to work, the teacher went over Douglas's desk and asked, "Whose hand?" And Douglas said, "It's your hand." And the teacher remembered how that many times she helped Douglas in his struggles and his hardship, and realizing how much just that little hand has been a blessing. I reflected on that rather closely because I remember those days. I'm not as old as you think I am, or my memory's better than you think, but I still remember my fifth grade teacher. After summer break, about to school, I somehow have missed the concept of some of the math things, and I just struggled, and I just could not. The D's fell on the report card, and this. And I still remember Mrs. Kurtz. She came and helped me to get some concepts and spent some time and got that straightened out. And so that in all my frustration, it came to starting to show A's and B's like it belonged, because she helped me, she stopped, and the hand that helped me. And I make this plea this morning is, in many ways, we as a friendship, we don't realize the magnitude of just stopping and helping someone. By the way, this friendship and desire for friendship doesn't really end at childhood. It goes on all through our life. No matter where you are in life, you will appreciate the person that takes time to friendship. Joyce's mother is 94, almost 95 next month, and she desires friendship. And she reminds you if it's too long from when you visited the last time until this time. And she just has a longing. And This is a very sharp mind as she is, and just a real blessing. And I realize that that longing of friendship doesn't get old. And we all have to admit that. I invite your attention to 2 Corinthians 1. Part of this friendship is pointed out rather clearly here in 1 Corinthians. There's two reasons for friendship evangelism. The first one, we talked about the friendship. And evangelism is that we have a message. We have something to say. We have somewhere something to do. 2 Corinthians again. 1 verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the Father, a God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comforter wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Eli did an excellent job in our teaching our Sunday school class and talked a little bit about tribulations and some of those things and the help we need. And my call is, what was said here in these few verses is so powerful. It refers to as God is the one that comforts us. So first of all, we need to be so thankful in light of all that God has comforts us. In the middle of the tribulations and hardships and hard times. But then because we experience that from him, then we are the ones that should step forward to comfort those in trouble and hardships. And so the friendship evangelism, the evangelism part is that we have a message. We have one of the most powerful messages. That's a bad statement. We have the most powerful message that mankind can receive. But one of those up front is that of just of comfort and just be with. And we just talked about that earlier. Just sit there. The message of comfort from God, grace and peace from God himself. And we have that. So we have that to give. We have that to give. And really one of the reasons for suffering is that we have experienced that we can later on walk with them. Some of the tribulations that we go through sometimes that we can't imagine why, but long enough and past far enough, we have to look back and we wouldn't reorder it. But if we think about what we experienced, we had a tremendous growing experience because of what we went through. We're a different person because of what we went through in all that. It's almost 32 years ago now that we were involved in an automobile accident, and at fault, death. And this experience you would never invite. But because of that experience, we're never the same. And at the time, people that had went through that experience, visiting, the touch and the warmth that felt of just walking, because they understood. And later on, when we saw settings of people that went through that, to be able to step forward and walk with him is so important. So one of the reasons for suffering is that we can relate. But the ultimate message is a salvation message, is that you must be born again. The message of eternal comfort. A picture of this is in Acts 8. Acts 8, you'll remember this story rather well. Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man, Ethiopian and Enoch, of great authority under Chodis, Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. was returning and sitting in his chariot from reading Isaiah, as the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go nearer and join thyself to the chariot. And so we realized that there was a call there for friendship evangelism. He was called. There was a knock on Philip, on his heart to go. And every one of us knows about that experience. So somewhere along the line, we should probably go. Should we go talk with it? Should we go? And the picture here is the response of going and doing it. And then the setting was prepared. The setting was all ready to go. And God had that all in place. And it's so important that the Lord calls, go, be that friend. Don't wonder who else could go or should go. Be the one, be the person. Philip responded well, and then there was a message that he had, and that was a salvation message. And the occasion is here that the eunuch responded rather properly. It doesn't always happen. We had Park experience last evening in Denver Park. And there was an individual that was around there and roaming around. And I said to Joyce, the group was singing. I said to Joyce, I need to go back. I had talked with this fellow just a little bit earlier. And I said, I need to go back. And so I kind of missed out on the singing, but went on back to talk to Stephen Lead. And just a very obnoxious individual, but I wasn't going to be turned away. And I don't know what seed all was planted, but he knew and heard about what we were there for and why we were there. And spent the evening with him then, but very challenging in many ways, and why he explained to me why the church exists. The church exists to get your money. That's the, and he had many, many things. And so we went around, but things don't always turn out as well as you think, but at the same time, there's seeds left behind that you'll never know. And I was really glad that I went back. I did be sure to leave him my phone number and a few things in order that I could see. And so he was gracious. But those are the things that we need to step forward and take those steps. There's an account in Genesis that friendship evangelism that has to be of the most beautiful picture there is. And that is, if we reflect with me just for a moment, the life of Joseph. Where was Joseph at in his family setting, where he was, where he wanted to be? Anything but that. He was in a far country. He was in his captive's hands. And do you think for a moment that the story would be about Joseph if he wouldn't have done friendship evangelism wherever he was? Think about that. He mustn't have spent a day grumbling about where he was and the captive and complaining. So no matter what that setting is, it's been a few months ago, Jaden, at your sister's wedding, had some people down from Canada, and Dale was one of those, and they needed a place to stay, and so he stayed at our place. And pretty directly in their conversation, realized that he was the driver of the bus when they were taken captive in Haiti, and he related the story. And he was the one that didn't have a lot of experience. He was just a new short term there, and he was relating what all took place. And then related the relationship and the communication that they had with the captives, with the captors, and how well it went in many ways. And then there was others that they had captive as well that were not treated so nice and were very mistreated. And Dale said that he said when the end of the day, part of their problem was they didn't know what to do with God's people. He said it was so contrary to the way they handle things. And they made themselves a friendship in an odd setting. And I think about Joseph. So be alert. There's another setting in 2 Kings, an account of a little maid. And we know the story so well, the little maid being in an adverse situation. And she made herself a friend to Naaman and his wife and said, you know, I want you to know about my God. I want you to know about my God that would be able to help you. Can you see the picture in an adverse setting? I'd like to share, we could be here all afternoon if we would take the privilege of sharing personal occasions where we had friendship evangelism and play that out. Due to the setting, I have a few that I'll share. I'd like to, how many of you know JJ? Anybody know JJ? I'm pretty scant anymore. But JJ is Jeff Jarman. Jeff Jarman, a number of years ago, John Reininger, a salesman for DeKalb Swine, stopped into my office one morning and he had his friends along, JJ and Shirley. And so this is okay. This wasn't unusual for, I had most of my people that I knew were friendship and very much at home. And so we did business and JJ and Shirley are in the area to visit. And so they're with me to do touring. And so as they were leaving the office, I said, well, why don't you stop out with Joyce and say hi to Joyce. She's at home. And so they did. And JJ, very typical, and Shirley, world people. And so they were later on found out they were looking to transfer him to the Lancaster area in sales, but he wasn't so sure that he wanted to. In some further communication, I learned all this later on, that he decided he would do that because he was down in the Carolinas at a board station down there working, him and Shirley, and they were asked to transfer up to this area. Rather reluctant to do that because they had gained a lot of friendship with Quakers down there, a Quaker fellowship. And it ended up being rather, but because of being close to Philadelphia, it sounded like that would be safe for Quakers. And so they made the move, only to find out that they know Quakers. There was a small group down in Reading, and it was different than what they were experiencing or were looking for. And so they weren't so sure about that. And that was, their Quaker friendship was gone. And so they started looking and talking, and we ended up taking up a lot of friendship and a lot of time. By the way, these things take a lot of time, but JJ and Shirley, JJ came out of the Midwest from his mother. The only thing he knew, church. His grandmother would allow him to use her car Sunday afternoon and evening if he went to church with her. And so that was his church life. Shirley was Catholic by name, and later on through college, they met each other and were married and worked in the West and then were transferred to a board station in Carolinas and then up to Pennsylvania. And so there they were in a strange land. And just without going into a lot of detail, a lot of questions. Well, what about this? Well, where can they? And so his comment later on was that he started Sunday mornings, they would drive around and look at church places and see where they were. And with a little more boldness, they decided they would go to a few places and went. He said they were the last ones in and first ones out and observed what they wanted to. And as time went on and all this happening, why it was just We spent so much backyard time. Well, what about this? Well, why do you do that? And well, what about this? And still remember JJ saying that, you know, he said, Shirley and I, we have just really developed a lot more time for our family. He said, we got rid of our TV. Oh, really? Yeah. He said, well, he said, you don't do TV? No, we don't do TV. He said, well, it's just such a blessing for his life. And it went one step to the other until finally one day I said, JJ, I said, I really think you would start feeling at home at Faith. And he did indeed. They were baptized there at Faith. And just many, his slogan, his witty slogan is that to be a Mennonite, you need to play volleyball and drink Meta tea. But he never heard of Meta tea until Joyce served in Meta tea. And so one more. Thank you. And so as it was, today, JJ is a minister in the Eastern Church, and his son Ryan is a minister in the Northeastern Church out in Michigan, and tremendous working. And it's just quite a developing, watching them dropping things and picking things up on their own, and just a real blessing. And I would, Steph stays in touch. And so being a friend to him more recently over the last few years, JJ has been a friend to me. He calls different times and it reminds me of God's provision to walk with us in hard times. And so it works both ways. And the story of JJ is one that's just a real blessing to a lot of people. Another one that you remember, and there's another group here that will remember the Bird family. Bird family didn't turn out so well, and yet stayed a lot of time with them, and not so pleasant always. But one of the things that was always a kind of a smile to us is if I would go into the house to them and come out back to the car, and it was just really unique. It's just a bad setting. But they were needed help. They needed somebody. And if you remember old Harry, the grandpa that lived with him, and Harry died then later and had the funeral for Harry. But one of the things that was so unique was, if you remember this setting, it was one Sunday morning, Willis Detweiler was a man that was there at Faith for a number of years. And Willis, one Sunday morning, was doing a children's meeting up front. Still seeing the children were all sitting here. And he was telling a story about Betsy and how that Betsy, and he went over backwards and fell over and died. And the Bird family, well, especially parents, were so overtaken by, well, how are the children? And they called me right after church, and well, how do the children understand this and death? And yet I knew in my mind that they were watching TV forever and watching all kinds of death settings. And I remember telling them that everything's okay because Willis was doing what he loved to do for his Lord. And it's okay. Today, yet, I see Kenny Bird from time to time, but as quite a lot of time, but a real blessing. More recently, friends Marvin and Nancy, they came from a more conservative church and not knowing which way to turn. And again, we talked with Marvin for quite a long time, and then Marvin met this Nancy girl, and this Nancy girl said that she's just struggling. And Marvin said, why don't you go see her on Joyce? Oh, she said, she is a Dutchman. She said, he kind of, so you spritzer, you know, I'll just go and I'll just cry. And Marvin said, that's okay. You can do that. And that's exactly what did happen. She came, and she had a lot to say, but they anchored on their part. I just want to commend that God took their lives and anchored them in. And back in October here, they were married in the Mid-Atlantic Church and had the message. People are looking for a safe place. That's what they want. And we've got to step forward and be that friend. You see now why I'm saying we'd be here the rest of the afternoon. If you would all have your opportunity to tell your story about a person and people that you were with. That's the call that God has in the Word of Life congregation. Because we're going out in many, many different ways. These people, you've heard this one from me before, but I'm old enough to do this, repeat things. And that is, we need to love the people. We need to listen to the people. And then we can lead them. And that's so important for dads and moms and pastors. And that is, you need to love these people. These people that are non-lovable. People that don't make sense. You still need to love them. There's a organization called Handyman, is that right? You care for people that need help. And you need to listen to what they have. They have a lot to say in a lot of cases. A lot to say. But nobody stops to listen to them anyway. So may as well not say it. But they will find that they're wrong. Because you have time to stop and to listen to what they have to say. And because they have something to say, their heart starts warming up to you. And then you can show them the way and lead them. The world around us is dark and there's no place to go. There's no place to find refuge. This past Christmas, I thought about it quite a bit. Because I heard the story given a number of times about the cobbler. He was the man that was by himself, rather lonely man, and yet at the same time, he was a godly man. And one night in his evening, in his trance, in his sleep, he knew that Jesus was going to come the next day. Jesus was going to make a visit. It was Christmas, and Jesus was going to make a visit. And so he's rather excited about that Christmas morning and that Jesus was going to come today. And as time of the day wore on, there was Jesus didn't come. And after a while, there was a knock on his door. And it was a poor old man bent over and he was needing some help. And he gave him some food and he gave him a pair of shoes and sent him on his way. Delighted with what he had. And so he again went to wait for Jesus to come. And again, knock on the door. It was the old lady, as you remember, the old lady that was in need of things. And so he took care of her needs and helped her along the way. And she was on her way again. And so again, he was waiting that Jesus will be. He knows that his dream is so real that Jesus is going to be here. And again, he was waiting. And then he heard children outside. And that was a setting where he went out and here the children were lost. And they needed help. And he helped them along the way again and sent them. And he retired again to realize and remind it that Jesus knocked on his door three times. And those are the occasions that we so often can bypass and not think about. They're real. And they're at our doorstep far too often, more often than we think. Friendship evangelism put into action is a very serious matter. Let's turn to Matthew 25 for a moment. Friendship evangelism is telling here about that when you did it under the least of these. And this is how serious it is. Matthew 25:31. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come unto me, all ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry to you know the setting. He was thirsty. He had needs. And you came unto me. And he said, I don't know. When was that? We never did that. And he said, it was when you did it to the least of these. That's when you did it. And he said, welcome is in. However, the sad commentary comes next. And we talked about that a little bit in class too. The sad commentary is next. Another group says, hey, we didn't have an opportunity. We were watching for that. We had our eyes open for that. But there was no setting to do that. And Jesus says, you passed it up. And my friends, we need to stay alert. Those settings that come before us that are right in front of us. Friendship evangelism is a serious, serious matter. Now, I encourage us, to each one of us, young and old, to take heed to those occasions. There's settings where someone is crying. There's settings where the least of these are in front of us. It might be our fellow workers. It might be the grocery cart pusher. It might be the hired hand. It might be the clerk at the store. Wives, you know, what do you have? Well, let me tell you, you have a tremendous input on the least of these, the grocery clerk, the store clerk. Store clerk knows, and I saw it so often already, the store clerk knows exactly what it is to be complained at, complain about high prices, and that the clerk doesn't have a whole lot to do with the high prices. And she's thinking about how little she gets being paid, and they're saying how much you get. And so that's what they know. And you've got to be clear that when you're the next person in line, that clerk can have a bit of a smile, a bit of a light heart, because they know how you're going to handle them. They know that you're going to be gracious. They know that you're going to be thankful, and they know that you're going to be appreciative to them and have a good word. And that's like a breath of fresh air. Let me tell you, that's the least of these, that we need to do those little things. And every one of us can do that. And young people, one of the most powerful things you have is a testimony of the Christ characteristics that's in you because of accepting Jesus Christ. To the world around you, in the least of those. Maybe it's a poor man next door, or maybe it's a grumpy old man next door that doesn't have anything good to say. It might be the cleaning maid. Cleaning maid always reminds me of the setting of the college girl. It was in the Reader's Digest some time back, but the college girl that was doing rather well at school and college, and she was getting straight perfect on her tests. And one day, close to the end, the test came out, and one of the questions on the tests were the first and last name of your maid in your dorm. And this young girl just reacted to that, and it reminded friends, you can't do that's not it's not it won't you can't do that she don't know. And she was cruising for a straight perfect record. You can't do that. And the professor finally said, that question stands, it will be there. And she relates to this years later. In fact, there's a story in the Reader's Digest was how that lesson taught her that the least of these are the most important. And I encourage you, those people around you that are, we even go as far as call them underdogs, you know, they kind of get the mud. Please, please take God's call for you to do it under the least of those. Talk well of this. I've learned, it's just a little trick that I've learned, is sometime you're at a public place and somebody, we talk a little bit of poor souls, kind of they're cleaning up, and why not make the comment? And I've learned to do that. I says, no wonder this place looks like it does. I thought it just happens on its own, but I see why it's so nice around here. And I don't know what it means, but What else do you say? Get out of my way, I'm coming through. Oh, you know, that's what they are used to. And so my call for us is to watch and get little nuggets ready to say to those settings, that person that's doing some of the least jobs. There's a book that is in our family, Mr. Seymour, Something for Seymour. This little story goes, tells about an old man. And this is one of the things that I think children ought to know about and ought to read. But I didn't quite do what I should have. I was going to ask Joyce to read the Seymour story to the children, but I'll tell you enough about it that Mr. Seymour was a poor man and lived on the hill, and he stuttered and was made fun of, and he just didn't have many friends. And so one day was something special for Mr. Seymour. It was his birthday. And you know what was going to happen on Mr. Seymour's birthday? I'm not showing you the right picture, just kind of paging through here. And so Mr. Seymour was, it's going to be an exciting day. And that was his birthday. And the family down in the valley invited him to come for supper. And so he was so excited. And on the way down, he went past a big tractor, and some guy said, "Get out of the way, Mr. Seymour, get run over." And I know. And he was made fun of in the way. And as he was doing that, another setting happened, a kind of adverse. But he still knew where he was going. And he went to this family. And I'm not sure if you get a good picture of this or not. But anyway, he got to his family where he was going to go. And they had made him a birthday supper for him that evening. And the children were all involved, and talks about all that happening. And so he was real happy about this. And the children were kind to him, this old man. And young children just always respect older people. When they get old, we still like friends. And we still like to have people appreciate us. And Mr. Seymour, with his stutter, made it even worse. He was a little handicapped. And we get older, we get a little handicapped, but we don't like to be laughed at. We like to be appreciated. And Mr. Seymour was no different. And so this little story is one that is in our family. And I just encourage you, is Emily here? Emily, you're the librarian. Do you have this one in your? You do now. Okay, it'll stay laying there, and you see to it that it gets in there. And it's just a simple, but let me tell you, this friendship evangelism is so simple. It's not that hard. It's what we do with it. It makes a difference. Everyday contact. And I think about this and reflecting that time. I just, over the years, and I'm just going to read some names off. Don't mean anything to you, but they really mean a lot to me. But these were individuals that a lot of them, and most of them, had their feet under our dinner table. Businessmen, executives, and less, more one way or the other. But I still remember Bob O'Donnell telling me in my office about how his wife had died last week. And there was just nobody hardly at the funeral. And so the hour and a half of time of visiting with Bob O'Donnell, Jack Robinette, and Delva and I went to Jack Robinette's wife's funeral, and Jack said, "I can't tell you how often Dot talked about having their time that they had at our place." John Beck, Jack Archer, Dennis Ward, John Reininger, Jeff Stauffer, Jeff Bollinger, Roy Pogue, Chris Weevil. These are men that I reflect back, and I don't know where all it goes, but it doesn't matter. But I know that men, especially, we have a tremendous amount of captive audience. They come as customers, they come as salespeople, they come as suppliers, and we have. And by the way we have that friendship community is because of Galatians 5. That we're called to. We have love, we have joy, we have peace, we have long suffering, we have gentleness, We have goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And that kind of characteristic will be, can't help but be friendship. The thought of friendship, Matthew 6 calls us to the salt and the light to a dark world, and that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And I call for us this day to not be challenged this morning, but because of what God has laid in this message, that you would be changed. Your opportunities you meet, you will take with new zeal and new thinking about what happens and what that. I plead with you, make a decision to be a friendship evangelist in the setting that we are. Everyone, you sit this for a moment. Our exposure tomorrow morning, our exposure next week, tremendous exposure. I don't have the opportunity that you have, but I will have opportunities. And I need to pray to God that he will help me to be that person. Make sense. Make a decision to give yourself to friendship evangelism. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our friend, the one that has died for us, that you saw us in a people of need. We saw us in a people as people of helplessness. And you do sent your son Jesus to die there on the cross, shed his blood for our wrong and our sins. And you brought us to yourself. God, as we experience that, help us to be the ones that share with those around us. Thank you for each one of these, my brothers and sisters, old and young, even children, in their way of communicating. May they be a blessing to those around us. We just commend this message to your working, for your honor and your glory, and to be a light for you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.